Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 8. We'll read verses 1 through 4 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 8, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 8, verses 1 through 4. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. And let's pray, Father, thank you so much that you care about people so much. Lord, as we were reminded in Sunday school this morning, the angel that sinned, you didn't send Jesus for, but you did for us. What a great God you are. Thank you for the privilege of serving you here in this place, in this time in history. Lord, may we not miss it. Holy Spirit, fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change us so we can outreach more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening, I want to talk to you about this thought. You are so important to God. Earlier, we read together from Psalm chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. And David says in Psalm 8, he says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" When the Bible uses the word mindful, it's a little bit like the word thankful. The word thankful means full of thanks. Mindful means a mind full of thought about something, meaning that God and his mind is full of thoughts for you and for me. And David asks the question. He says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" I picture David looking up to the stars and seeing the vast universe and then thinking of little menial man, and David says, I don't get it. What is it that makes man special enough that God would have his mind full of thought about the human race, and even greater than that, about me as an individual? In Job chapter 7, verse number 17, the Bible says, "What is man that thou shouldst magnify him? And that thou shouldst set thine heart upon him." You know, the Bible teaches here that God has magnified man. Man does not deserve to be magnified, but God has chosen to magnify. Did you know you're more important to God than a duck? It's a good thing. You are more important to God than the star that might fall from the sky. Oh, we're so valuable to God. God has chosen to magnify man, and man is important to God's heart, according to Job 7:17. And let me explain. I'm talking about you. You as an individual, you. This is a very, very personal sermon. This is to you. I don't want you to sit there and say, "Boy, I hope my wife gets this." No, I want you to get it. "Boy, I hope my husband get this." No, I want you to get it. "Boy, I hope my children get this." No, I want you to get it. "Boy, I hope my mom or my dad get this." No, I want you to get it. You are so important to God. Now, most people do not realize how important they are to God. Most people do not realize how much God loves them. Most people do not realize how special they are to God. Most people can quickly associate with the question presented in the scripture here, that question we read earlier, what am I that God is mindful of me? What am I that God would magnify me as being important? Why should I be on God's heart? And listen, folks, I was speaking to a preacher, and I'm talking about a pastor that had pastored 16, 17 years in the ministry, and I preached a very personal sermon about the love of God, and he sat and listened as I preached. He came to me after the sermon, he said, "Boy, that was so good for me." He said, "I've been a preacher for a long time." He said, but I guess it's hard for me to understand that God's interested in me and that God loves me. And I got to thinking, if a pastor has a difficult time absorbing that truth, I wonder how much the people that sit in the pews sometimes miss the depth of this truth. God loves you. You are important to God. You, every one of you, are important to God. Now let me help you to understand this. And then, not only do I want to help you to understand this truth, but I want to insist that you believe and realize that you are very important to God. You're important to God because He chose to make you important. Well, when I thought of this, I thought, okay, we are important to God. But why? Why are we important to God? I'll tell you why. He is the Creator. And when He created you, He created you in such a way that you would be important to Him. That's why we qualify for such great importance. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 139:14, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now listen, what makes you special is God created you special. What makes you important is that God created you important. What makes you magnifiable is that God made you magnifiable. So God, when He created you, He said, I will create you, I will make you important to me, and that is what qualifies you to be important. And you can't change that. That was God's design. And I'm talking about you as an individual. I'm not just talking about the human race now. I'm talking to every single person, every individual in this congregation tonight. You were created in a special way, and you as an individual are important to God. My wife and I first moved here. We bought a house out in Georgetown. The house was not finished, and we had to go in and do a bunch of finishing. And it's a two-story home, and on the back of it, there was no deck, though there were doors leading off the second level out into space. And we had to board those doors up so somebody couldn't walk out them and fall down a whole flight and break their neck. Then we decided we wanted to build a deck out there. Some of the men here in the church came to help me, but we built that with our own hands. I designed the deck. Mrs. Owens and I together, we designed this deck. Our deck runs all the way across the back of our house, and there are three levels. And let me tell you something. We love our deck. Oh, we sat down, and Mrs. Owens and I, we talked. We wanted the deck to be a certain way, and because we did all the labor, it just cost us for the supplies, but it stretches all the way across the back of our house, and then you go down a level, and there's another deck there, and then you go down a level, and there's another deck there, and then you go down a level, and you're finally at the bottom of the deck. We've got a fire pit on our deck. We can go out at night and we can start a fire. At midnight, she and I may just go out and have a cup of coffee, sit out there and hold hands, and the rest of it's none of your business. And we'll just look at the stars and we enjoy that deck. I'm telling you, you men that are deer hunters, you'd like my deck. It is the fanciest tree stand in the United States of America. The deer come up, and I mean virtually by the dozens, come into my backyard. There's a big old 8-point buck that here in a few days will not live much longer. But there's a big old 8-point buck that plays in my backyard, and there are deer that come up in my backyard constantly. You can sit on my deck and you can hear the turkeys. We just love it. And when the sky is clear, and it is often, we can see the stars. In the wintertime, we can go out on that deck and start a fire in that fire pit and just set up near it. We have many Sunday school classes. One of the reasons we built such a big deck is we wanted to entertain the ministries of the churches out there. I think there are three or four different Sunday school classes that will be coming out to our house in the next month, and they'll go out there on that deck. We'll have a cookout on the deck. There are times that if I get a little moment, I'll go out and I'll take my Bible and take all my study books, and I'll just sit there with a big old cup of sweet tea. I'll sit out there and study my Bible for hours and hours on end. You know what? That deck, Mrs. Owens and I created it. And we love it. And it's important to us. And it is special to us. And there's not another deck anywhere in the United States of America like my deck. I made it special. It was, I mean, every little part of it. We picked the colors. We picked the way we wanted the wood to run. I mean, we picked how big it would be, how tall it would be. We picked how elaborate it would be. And let me tell you, it is well built. If you hear of an atomic blast that hits Washington, D.C., and everything in West Virginia is blown away, you come out by my house, my deck will still be standing, I'll guarantee you. That thing is built. I mean, Brother Damien, you come out and help us, and some of the rest of you, I mean, that baby, it's built to withstand an atomic blast. But it's a special deck. Now, wait a minute. If I could put that much into the creation of a deck, I wonder what God put into the creation of that young man and that young lady and that man right there. God created you. You are a designer model. And you are so important to God. You're far more important to God than some old dumb piece of wood and a few nails. Oh, yes, you're more important than that. He created you to want you. That was a part of the creation process. He created you to enjoy you. That was a part of the master plan. He created you to be very important to Him. That was a part of His plan. And David says in Psalm 139, verse 14, he says, I will praise Thee for creating me and making me important to You. Don't see this wrong. You say, well, I don't know that I qualify to be important to God. You're crazy. God qualified you to be important to Him. When God created you, He created you, and one of the major ingredients in creating you was an importance to Him. He wanted it that way. David said, I wonder how I could be so important to God, but I'm going to accept that fact. God did it that way. God chose to create me to be important. God wanted it that way. And David said, who am I to question that I am supposed to be important to God? I, by faith, will need to accept the fact that when God created me, He created me to be special to Him. David may have said, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to go ahead and believe it. David said, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to go ahead and enjoy it. David said, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to go ahead and accept it. I'm going to go ahead and benefit from it. I'm going to spread the news about it. I'm going to have faith in it. He delights in me, and I don't understand it, but He said He does. He created me to delight in me, and I'm going to accept the fact I am important to God. David, I said, I guess was saying, I'm special to God. Nah, 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 nah. He knew he was special to God. And I think David said, I'm glad God came up with this plan. Because look, if you wanted me to step up and tell you whether I qualify to be special to God, I would guess I don't. But it's not my choice. God chose me. God created me. God chose that I be special. Hey, let me tell you, you are special to God. Smokey Tinsman, you are special to God. You, sir. Dustin MacArthur, where are you at, Dustin? Dustin, you're important, God. Natasha Hall, where are you at, Natasha? She may be in a nursery somewhere. There she is. You're important to God. These are just the names I wrote down while I was flying back from Ontario, Canada. Dave Rainey, where are you at, Brother Dave? Are you here tonight? Dave, wherever you are, you are important to God. I was thinking a little Emily Davis and what she and her family and her daddy's been through with him being sick. Emily, you are important to God. Jacob Kidwell, where are you at? One of the finest young men in this church. Not a deceiver. A fine young man. Not a cocky, not a punk, not at all. Jacob, you are important to God. Hey, new Christian, you are important to God. You see, I just got saved. You're important to God. Maybe you've been saved for years and years and years. You're an older Christian. You are important to God. Maybe you're a good Christian. Maybe you're trying to live right. Maybe you're living righteously as you know how. You're important to God. But I have to tell you something. If you're not living right, if you are backslidden, if you are away from God, if you are living in sin, you are important to God. You are important to God. I love what I'm about to tell you. there's no way. I can get so excited about this truth. We could be here till midnight. We're not going to be. But I just wish I could show you, and I wish I could convince you tonight how important you are as an individual to God. Andrew Logue, you are important to God. Mike Vagent, you are important to God. You are. You're important. Ben, you are important to God. You are important. May Burris, you are important to God. Melinda, you are important to God. Rob, you are important to God. I mean, Brother Butch, you are important to God. This is a sermon where you need to lock yourself in a private room in your mind and in your heart and zero in on the fact that the great God of the universe says you, John Kidwell, are important. You, Ray Morales, are important. You are, Greenlee Jr., you are important to God. You are important to God. Let me show you how important you are. You are so important to God that He sent the Bible to you personally. Proverbs 22:20 says, "Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge?" To thee. Listen, God's Word had always been in heaven. And on purpose, He sent it in print down to this earth, and He wishes that you would take His Word as personally as He wrote it to you. To you. This book right here, it is a personal love letter to you from God. Very personal. Did you know that you can read this and I can read this, and though it says the very same words, God has a way of getting into our heart differently? It is amazing. It is amazing. You can read a verse on Sunday morning and God can move in your heart before you come to church. You can come to church and I can preach on that identical verse and say something else about it. And God spoke to both hearts differently, but the same verse. This is a personal book. God wrote you a love letter. It's a personal love letter. And it is to you, Keith Leonard. And it is to you, Holly Stanley. It is to you, Cheryl Reinberg. This book was written personally to you, Chuck Clinton. You are so important to God, He put on paper all the instructions on how He wants His special creation to live. And it is a personal book written to you. Secondly, you are so important to God that He gave His Son for you. We know the verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." But let me tell you something. Jesus died for you. He died for you. I believe with my whole heart, as you've been the only person on the face of this earth, God loved you, you were His special creation, and He wanted to redeem you, and His Son would have died for you had you been the only one. Hey, when He died for you, He died in a personal way for you, just like when you trust Him, you do that in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this earth to be crucified for you. If you could have been there, the day that they drove the nails in His hands and in His feet, the day that they drove that spear into His side, the day that they placed that crown of thorns upon His head, had you been standing there, and He could have made eye contact with you, you could have said, "Why are you doing this?" And He would have looked back with all the sincerity that the great, unlimited God could muster and say, "I'm doing this for you, Ellen Moore. For you. I'm dying for you." You see, Jesus died for you as an individual. Oh, we get kind of lax and lazy about the spirituality and we clump it all into a great big bundle. The Word of God was written for you. It's a personal love letter from God to you. Hey, Jesus died for you. Oh, take it personally. This is, hey, you know what this sermon is all about? It's about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Hey, that's how it's supposed to be. Indeed, He is the great God of the universe, but wait a minute. He is your God. Number three, you are so important to God that you can reach Him 24 hours a day. Psalm 55:17 says, "Evening and a morning and at noon will I pray." You can pray to God, doesn't matter what time it is, you can pray to God and He's listening. God has always got His ear bent towards you, waiting. God is just waiting for you to think that you think a prayer, speak a prayer. He is just waiting. You tell me anybody, anywhere, that will hear you 24 hours a day. Look, you know, the husband-wife relationship is a wonderful one.
But you know, Mrs. Owens doesn't have access to me at the drop of a hat 24 hours a day, nor do I have access to her. No child has access to mom or dad 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But can I tell you something? You are so important to God, He never turns His ears off. He is always bent toward the earth. He is always listening. All you got to do is think it. All you got to do is speak it. You don't have to say it out loud. You don't have to kneel. He is waiting to hear from you 24/7 for the rest of your life. He is on the edge of his seat saying, I'm listening. I'm here for you. Hey, when it's dark and there's no one around, he's right there. When you don't think anybody else can listen, he's right there. When it's midnight and everybody's asleep and you can't call anybody, call on God. That's how important you are. 24/7, he is on call to hear your prayers. Anytime you pray, you won't get an answering machine. You won't get a voicemail. You won't call the church and hear Brother Guin's voice. You ever get our answering machine here? It's Brother Guin explaining, we be busy, baby. Well, he's probably not, but I am. You are so important to God. He listens 24 hours a day for you to call upon Him. That's pretty important. Try to reach the President of the United States. Try to reach anybody like that. Try to reach your doctor. Try to reach your dentist like that. Try to reach the police. I can't even believe this. I called the state police about 2 years ago up here at this barracks. I got an answering machine. Said, we're not in today. Honest engine. Cross my heart. Hope Brother Bush dies. I called the state police and I got an answering machine. Said, you'll have to call tomorrow morning at 8. But I've never called on Jesus without him picking up and saying, I got you. I'm on it. You see, you are so important to God, He wrote the Bible to you personally. You are so important to God, Jesus died for you personally. You are so important to God that you can reach Him 24 hours a day. Number 4, you are so important to God that He wants to be with you forever. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, and shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Ever be with the Lord. This is talking about when Jesus comes again, but whether it be through death or through the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says here that we are forever going to be with the Lord. Now, we would not forever be with the Lord unless He wanted it to be that way. He is God. He does have a choice. But He wants to be with us. He wants to spend eternity with you. You know, you are going to be there. If you're saved, you will be in heaven. There are no slums in heaven. There's nobody that takes a back seat in heaven. You will be there, and you will be with God, and He wants to be with you for all eternity. He's never going to get tired of you. You know, the holidays are coming. Some of you are going to figure something out. It's good to have the family around, but it's good to tell them goodbye, too. In heaven, the Lord never will say goodbye to you. He had the choice about that. He said, I want to be with you for all eternity. That's a big thing. God wants to be with me. I mean, you know, we can spend so much time with people. You know, I believe the weekends in school are good. I think the teachers at Martinsburg Christian Academy love the students, but they sure are glad when 3 o'clock Friday hits. Some of you, you love the place where you work, but boy, when you get off work on Friday for the weekend, you're saying, boy, it's good to get out of here. God doesn't feel that way about you. There are even times when husbands and wives need to get a little time apart. You say, when? About the time you got your hand around her throat. But in heaven, He wants to be with you. He wants to be with me as an individual. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's His choice. That's how important you are to God. Not only that, number 5, you're so important to God that He always keeps His word to you. 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness. God keeps His promises to us. God would never lie to someone that He loves as much as He loves you. You are so important to God, He does not want to taint His integrity with you. If God told you something, God's going to keep His word. That's how important you are. Think about it. People lie to us. People lie. Even the people that we love the most or that love us the most. You're going to find some little white lie or some little fudge along the way. But God said, you are so important to me, I will never, never, never lie to you. I will always tell you the truth. I will always keep my promises to you. Wow. Look at how important you are to God. You are so important to God, He wrote a love letter called the Bible to you as an individual. You are so important to God that He gave His Son to die for you as an individual. You are so important to God that you can reach Him 24 hours a day. You are so important to God that He wants to be with you forever. You are so important to God, He promised He would never lie to you. He would never forsake you in regard to His promises. Number six, you're so important to God, He never sleeps so He can keep an eye on you. Never sleeps. The Bible says in Psalm 121, verse 3 and 4, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. What the Bible teaches? God is awake 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, 365 days a year, all the time, from now through eternity. And let me tell you what He's doing, Brother Brad. I'm going to use this microphone. He's doing this. He never takes His eyes off you. Diane, He watches you all day long. He's watching. He's watching out for you. He says, Diane Lowe is very important to me. I'm going to watch. I'm not going to bat my eyes. I'm not going to blink. I don't want to take my eyes off of her. I'm going to watch her all day long. And I know sometimes we take that thought and we think, yeah, watch that guy's watching you. You better not live wrong. Well, let me take that from another angle. God loves you so much. He does not even blink. He doesn't go to sleep. When you're asleep, He's not asleep. When you're not at the wheel, He's not. And some people in here better thank God. I wonder how many times you nodded off and you woke up many miles later and you can't remember even driving the distance. You say, how in the world did I make it? While you were dozing, God was not dozing. God was in heaven watching all day, all day, all day. He does not take His eyes off of you. Hey, and you see, you better realize something. What a great God we have, because He watches you all day as an individual and watches you all day as an individual and watches you all day as an individual. God's got His ever-watching eye of care on you. He never goes to sleep. He never slumbers. He never nods in church. He's watching all the time. That's how much He loves you. Tell me one person, anybody, that watches out for you like that. God stays awake around the clock to watch out for you. That's how important you are as an individual. That shows how important you are to Him. I remember when our son Joshua was born, we went through a very difficult time where we thought he would die. He began to lose weight. Mama had given birth and he was very sick and was in intensive care, and he was a very sick boy for a couple weeks in a row. Mrs. Owens and I took shifts to make sure that one of us was awake 24 hours a day. One of the two of us had to be awake and right there with him. Why? We loved him. But I'll tell you something, Josh. After we brought you home, we put you in bed and we went to sleep. There came a day when you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You were birthed into the family of God. You were born again. The blood from the Heavenly Father was transferred to your account. You have His blood now on your account. And from the day that you were born in the cradle of the plan of salvation, God's never taken His eye off of you. 24 hours a day, He has watched you, Darla. He's kept His eye on you. He's watched to make sure that you are safe. Sarah, He's watched you and watched you and watched you. And it's not just this big God that's got a magnifying glass out to see if you're being bad or being good. It's a God that loves you, and He said, you are so important to me, I'm staying awake 24 hours a day. I'll watch everywhere you go. I'll listen to every prayer. Call on me anytime. I've written a book to you. It's to you personally. My son died for you and died for you personally. That's how important you are to God. You are so important to God that He's going to let you live at His house. You know, John 14:2 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. virtually the description here is we're going to go live at God's house, and He's given us a room at His house. I'm going to go live at God's house. I mean, personally. And I hope my room's not my Chuck Little's room. Well, if Chuck's there. No, listen. We're going to go live at God's house. Forever. You'll never wear out your welcome. We're going for a sleepover at God's house. It's going to last for eternity. Have you stopped to think about that? Look, when we walk through what we call those pearly gates, we're not going to be a bunch of independent contractors. We're moving into God's house. We are moving into God's house. Why did He do that? He didn't have to say, in my Father's house are many mansions. He didn't have to say, you can come live at our house. He must have wanted to do that. Mike Bajan, God wanted you to come live at His house. That is incredible to me. That's how important you are. You. He promised you a mansion or a room at His house. You say, well, Brother Owens, I don't deserve it. I know, doesn't that make you great? I mean, even looking back, you say, well, I don't deserve it. I know. I know that is what's so incredible about it. He said, I'm creating you. I'm making you important. You're not going to understand it, but that's the way I want it. I love you. I died for you. I'll listen for your prayer. I'll stay awake. I'll watch out for you. And eventually, I'm bringing you up to my house. That's how important you are to God. You are so important to God, once He saves you, He'll never leave you. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You will never go anywhere without God. Never. 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 Anywhere you go as a saved person, God goes with you. He's listening to your prayer. He's got His eye on you, but He's following you around. Brother Joe, I'm going to be God for a second. You be a Christian. I do my part better than you do yours. You just follow me everywhere I go. No, I'll follow you everywhere you go. You be a Christian, I'll be God. God just goes everywhere you go. Where are you going, Joe? He says, well, I'm going to go get a haircut. God said, I'll go with you. Joe, where are you going? He said, I'm going to go to the grocery store. God said, I'm going with you. Where are you going, Joe? He said, I'm going to go dancing. God said, no, you're not. Boy, I'll break your legs. I'll be right there as you pray for mercy when we're breaking your legs. I'll be there. I'll hear your prayer. I'll see your pain. I'll heal you when you get to heaven and come stay at my house, but you're not going to answer. Where are you going, Brother Joe? He said, I'm going soul winning. God said, I'll go with you. Where are you going, Joe? Everywhere, thank you, Brother Joe, everywhere you go, God goes with you. That's how important you are. That's how important you are. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's talking to you. You, Jesse Thorne, as an individual. That's how interest God is in you. That's how important you are to God. You are number 9. You are so important to God that once He saves you, He'll never let you be lost again. He'll never let you be lost again. The Bible says in John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. God said, you were once lost. And God understood. You were lost and on your way to hell. He said that the very day that you get saved, I love you so much, I will not let you mess up that salvation. I wanted you back so bad. I wanted you to be back in the family so bad. The very day you get saved, it's lock, stock, and barrel. Nobody's going to take that away from you. He said, well, Brother Owens, that does not make sense. It may not make sense to you, but that was God's plan, and you're so important to God. He said, when I save you, I'm keeping you. That's how important you are. No man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. And by the way, that means you too. That means you too. It's talking about mankind. You can't pluck yourself out of the Father's hand. Why? You're too important to Him. You're too important to Him. You are so important to God. So important to God. How important? Well, I just know this. You're so important that He wrote the Bible to you personally. You're so important that He gave His Son for you personally. You are so important that He is listening for your prayers 24 hours a day. You are so important that God wants to be with you forever. You are so important that He keeps His word to you and never breaks a promise, ever. He has never done it and He never will. You are so important to God that He never sleeps so He can keep His eye on you 24 hours a day. You are so important to God that you get to go live in His house. You are so important to God that once He saves you, He never leaves you. He goes with you everywhere. You are so important to God, once He saves you, you will never be lost again. You will be saved for all eternity. Hey, number 10, you are so important to God that Jesus ever lives to intercede with God for you. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is in heaven. Just so you know, we talk about what can wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let me make something very clear to you. When the blood of Jesus was shed on the cross of Calvary, on Mount called Golgotha, the blood of Jesus Christ did not go into the ground and stay there. No, the blood of Jesus Christ was taken to heaven and put on the heavenly mercy seat there. And you see, let me tell you what the devil does. The devil, when you got saved, the blood of Jesus Christ was applied to your account. We sing, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and guilty sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ died, and His blood was taken to heaven. It was placed on the mercy seat, and that mercy seat pictured the fact that God was going to be merciful to you. And when you trust Christ as Savior, His blood covers your sin. You are saved because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not because of your righteousness. And that blood is up there in heaven. But there's a fellow by the name of the devil, Lucifer, Beelzebub. They call him the accuser. You know what the accuser is always trying to do? The accuser, he wants to go to God and say, hey God, that's Steve Barrett. He's a rotten guy. And Jesus steps up and says, wait a minute, Steve Barrett saved. Got him covered, God. Satan, God don't want to hear that. That's one of mine. Jesus, the Bible teaches here that Jesus is forever making intercession for you and I. The accuser comes and the accuser steps up and says, hey, why are they watching? The accuser comes and says, I know that Wiley guy. I watched him get mad the other day. And the accuser wants to go tell God about it. And Jesus steps up as intercessor and says, you can't get to God with that information. God, don't you worry about Wiley. He's under the blood. He's under the blood. He said, Brother Owens, I'm not perfect. You are not perfect, nor will you ever be perfect until we get to heaven. And between now and then, when the accuser tries to go get God, you have an intercessor, Jesus Christ, that steps up in between the accuser and God and says, you see that blood right there on the mercy seat? They're covered by the blood. God don't need to hear that. Hey, and the accuser comes and says, hey, what about these sins of old Ronnie Shiplett? And God says, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Why? Because Jesus is right there to step up and say, I'm coming in between you, the accuser, and God, and He is defending you 24 hours a day. Anytime the accuser goes to see God and say, God, I'll tell you what, that Jeff Owens is a dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing, sorry guy, and the devil wants to get me down and he wants to attack me to God, Jesus steps up and says, I saved Jeff Owens, he's one of mine. He is as righteous as my blood is. I'm covering for him. Got you covered, Jeff Owens. Got you covered. You see, the Bible says, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. That is how important you are, Rick Young, to God. God said, got you covered, Rick. Got you covered. Jesus personally is interceding for you, Levi Hall. Levi, you got saved, Jesus said, you just hang in there, man, because I'll take care of you from here on out. Anytime Smutty Face tries to get to God and try to get you sent to hell, Jesus steps up and says, you can't take him to hell. He's perfect. He's perfect. You say, perfect? Well, covered by the perfect blood of Jesus Christ. Perfect in himself? No. But the blood of Jesus Christ will speak for him. I got you covered, Levi. You're okay. That's how important we are to God. You know, a God that allows me to be that important to Him deserves that He be important to me. You know, I don't have to give all my money to the church. God doesn't make me do anything. I want to do it. I want to give. I want to serve. Say, why? Anybody that loves me that much deserves my loyalty. He deserves. What sins in your life that you won't take out? Why should I? You tell me. Why should you? What do you think God does for you? Why should you not take that out of your life? Why should you be fussing with God about anything? If God wanted you to stand in the corner and on your head for 2 days and sing Amazing Grace, you ought to say, I'd be glad to do that. Look at all the benefits I get. You are so important to God. David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that thou shouldst magnify him, and thou shouldst set thine heart upon him? And then David said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You're important to God because God created you to be important to God. Stop and enjoy the God. Every eye closed.